This is Archer, archerradio.com. Today is Wednesday, September 20th, 2006. We're going to get right into it. We're going to call Mark of the Remarkable Palette podcast and the Remarkably Mark podcast and vent about certain things that are going on in our lives. So let's talk to Mark. Let's give him a call.
Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Just fine, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, indeed. It sounds like you got your audio issues all worked out.
I did, thanks to John Ong.
Thanks to the miraculous John Ong.
Exactly.
the big boned John Ong.
No kidding.
I wrote a comment on his site that when he said all that stuff about big bones, I said, I got a big bone right here for you.
I bet he would love that. Well, so I haven't talked to you forever. How the hell are
you? Yeah, I'm doing okay. I've been a little bit buried in work, which is good. The phone has been ringing off the hook. It seems once, you know, now that people have realized that it's going to be the fall, they're done with all their summer hijinks and running around and traveling, and now they're, you know, people are starting to think, I think I need to hire a chef.
Yeah.
So the phone's been ringing off the hook, and I'm trying to negotiate all of that and taking on new clients and balancing the other stuff that I'm doing and, you know, all of that. And then dealing with some of these new clients, which has turned out to be a little bit of a nightmare in some cases.
Really? Well, it's good that you're getting new clients because that means your business is really growing, but it gives you less time to do other things.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, you know, I still, like, for example, this is what I'm about to tell you is an example of me not, I am never been one to compromise who I am or what I believe in for the sake of a job or the sake of money.
Oh.
I just, you know, I took on this client or was going to take on this client, and then all the little signs started to show up little by little that she was going to be a nightmare bitch cunt from hell. And I was scheduled to cook for her tomorrow, and I just had to call it off.
You know,
I wrote her email, yeah, saying I'm going to return your deposit and good luck, you know, because it's just little by little all these signs started showing up.
Like, what kind of things were making you realize this was going to be a nightmare?
Well, they were a special needs client to begin with. It was a woman who had recently had a baby, and the baby is lactose intolerant. So it's, and I've had several clients like this. I think it's an epidemic that's starting to happen, where, like, basically the mother can no longer eat any dairy products at all while they're nursing because the baby gets, you know, sick or gets, like, you know, the rashes on their skin and like flaky skin and their hair is bad and stuff. So so the mothers aren't allowed to take any dairy products, which is one of the reasons they were calling me. So I went and had a very long interview with this woman, and we ended up, or her and her husband, we ended up spending 2.5 hours.
Holy shit.
In the interview, and meanwhile she was breastfeeding.
Like, oh my
right
god!
In front of me, which I like. That should have been the sign immediately. Normally that thing doesn't bother me, but I don't know. Now it sort of pisses me off. So at the very end of this meeting, usually people are so thrilled to have someone like me who can solve their issues that they're just, you know, willing. You know, they understand, like, oh my god, we have to have this guy, and I never have a problem getting the check at the end of the meeting. Well, this woman at the very end of this 2.5 hour meeting finally says, when I asked for the check, she's like, well, I just want to let you know that we're going to try out other people as well. So we'll do a little trial thing. And I'm like, oh, great. I'm like so pissed off, right? So I'm like, she's not going to give me the full, you know, a full check because with some of these cases, I do fee plus groceries. So they pay me by the hour, and then the cost of the groceries gets included in that. And obviously because of that arrangement, I don't know what the total amount is until the actual day of the service.
Right.
And all of my clients that I do this for, they just leave me a blank check. You know, they just pin it to the fridge. I fill it out, leave them an invoice, and that's that. Well, this lady, she has an issue with that. So she only wanted to pay me the deposit. So at the time, I was like, well, it's either walk away with zero or at least get a deposit, which will then hold them to the date. So I took a deposit for $150, and then just the back and forth, just little by little, I was getting these little signs, you know, that she was going to be very difficult. A lot of things that I proposed she had problems with, even though it fit in with what our long 2.5 hour interview indicated to me would be their preferences. So I'm making changes, this, the other, back and forth, And so I leave her an email today with the sort of the final instructions. You know, I'll be there at this time. Please make sure that either your doorman can let me in or they'll have a key for me. And, you know, make sure your counters are clear, your freezer's empty, and leave a blank check for me. And she writes back saying, no, I won't leave you a blank check. If you tell me what the amount is afterwards, I'll send it to you. And I'm like, that's it. That's it. Sorry. Like, all of these things put together spell bad news. And
yeah.
I am too old, and I've gone this route too many times. I don't have any space in my life for bullshit, right?
Exactly.
You know, I get
good
to decide who I'm going to deal with and how I'm going to deal with them. And they have, you know, there's no reason to distrust me. I mean, it would be, think about it. Look, if I were to abscond with a blank check, it's like my whole business is out there on the internet. Everyone knows who I am.
Exactly.
I'm preeminent in this industry. I'm the president of our local chapter of our national organization and a certified personal chef. That would be the stupidest thing in the world for me to do anything that was untrustworthy with a check, you know.
And well, it sounds like it's not just you that she's untrustworthy about. I bet she's like that with lots of different
exactly.
things.
Exactly. And I had a client like this that was a hellion. She was a hellion on wheels last year. And I was like, no, I'm not going to deal with women like that. Well, people, I should say, just people
right,
that are
right.
like that. Unfortunately, my situations have always been with women who are distrustful with regard to money. But, I don't want to deal with that. And so I wrote her, I called her, but there was no answer. So I wrote her an email saying, look, I'm just going to, I'm sorry, but, I hate to do this at the last minute, but given the preponderance of these, you know, the terseness of your communication and your basic distrust of this, I don't think it's going to work out. I'll return your check. And she writes back, yes, please return my check. It's not you. It's just I don't give blank checks to anyone. And I'm like,
well,
exactly. That's the problem.
She's going to have a hard time dealing with people if she's going to be like that.
Yeah, and she's
I
a lawyer.
Swear. Oh, lawyers even worse.
Yeah. So I'm like, no, I've walked away from private chef gigs working for a billionaire because I didn't like the situation.
Right.
So I'm not going to put up with little things like that. So,
and it's not like you don't have other clients that you can deal with. I mean, fall
no,
back on.
In fact, I had 3 phone calls today of people looking for personal chefs on a full-time basis, and I don't know what to do with them all. I don't want to pass them along yet because I want to make sure I can either work with them or not, and if I can't, then I'll pass them to someone else. But, you know, it's one of those when it rains, it pours. You know?
Right.
It's the kind of business where you go through periods where it's really slow and then periods where you just, you know, you're working full-time.
Oh, that's just crazy. Yeah. And you don't charge, like, a consultation fee or anything?
No, I don't believe that on the initial meet. You know, my thing is I always walk out with a check. That's the thing. It's like the service is, you know, it either works for you or it doesn't. And people know that on the phone call. Like they know based on my web presence and on our phone call generally, like, oh wow, this is the kind of guy I want, you know. And
right.
True, you know, they haven't tasted my food yet, but that's what the first service is for, you know. And I don't hold people to contracts. A lot of personal chefs will do that. They'll say, well, look, you know, if you want me to hold this, you know, every second Wednesday for you, then I, you know, we'll sign a contract and you have to give me this much notice and pay this much in advance and blah, blah, blah. I don't do that because, again, I trust people. You
right.
know, and I feel like if I'm doing a good job, if I'm matching what their tastes are, then they're going to keep calling me. And if I'm not, then they won't.
Very true. And now, how many clients do you have ongoing at any one time, would you say?
It sort of varies because I have a couple clients that are every week, and then I have another 3 clients that are every other week, and then I have a bunch of clients that are sort of like catch-as-catch-can. Like
okay.
Either I'll cook for them once a month, once every 2 months, I'll do a dinner party for them, things like that. So I have
so
a lot
then,
of clients that are like that. But my core group of clients that I'm seeing either once a week or every 2 weeks is about 6.
And those once-a-week people, you basically cook for them for the whole week and put in their freezer, right?
Yeah, in their freezer or their fridge, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then other days of the week, you have time to do other people. So it's not like you're tied to one person's house for an entire
exactly,
week.
Yeah. See, because that would be like a private chef. And some people think that, oh, well, you can just pop in for an hour or two and make our dinner. And I'm like, well, no, because I have to commit to, you know, that if I'm committed to someone for that day, it means that I can't commit to other people.
Right.
So, it works out nicely that way, and it really ends up being really cost effective for people for their food, especially if you're into eating out a lot. You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, we don't need to get into a whole thing about personal chefing because we talked about that before. But that was just sort of my agita today.
Well, my rant for the day, if I can go on a rant myself.
Yes. And maybe, who's your skull?
Oh, my skull. That's a good way to put it, my skull.
I should have called her the skull. That's right.
I have a parent at school who is driving me crazy. First of all,
apparently
her,
so.
Yes. Her kid went to a private school last year. And it was a small class. There was like 12 kids in the class. So she got a lot of individual attention. Well, the class this year is more than double that size, and I simply don't have time to deal with this mother. She's emailing me like 3 or 4 times a week.
Oh, wow.
Asking me for all these, you know, can you do
Are
this?
You,
can
and
you do
you're
this?
Teaching in a public school.
Yes, I'm in public school, yeah. And I finally today got this another email from her, and she called today, left a message on the voicemail, and I just like, you know, I need to nip this in the butt because I can't keep doing this.
Yeah, just like with the kids, you have to set limits right away.
Exactly, and this is the 11th day of school, so there's really not much I can go on in 11 days. We're still assessing kids, we're still learning the routine and all this kind of stuff, and the way she's talking in her emails, it's like her kid is like the smartest thing and needs all this challenging work and all this stuff, and I'm like, I don't see that. What I'm seeing at school is this little girl is doing what she's supposed to be doing, except that she never listens to the directions. I think she has ADD, but I can't say that to parents. You know, I have to say that I think she has attention issues or she has problems attending, things like that. Well, the mother has...
Because if you say something like that, then it's equivalent to a diagnosis.
Exactly.
Which you're not qualified to give.
Right, we're not allowed to do that. But yeah, right. I think 20 years of experience, I know exactly when a kid has ADD and when a kid doesn't have ADD.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
And the thing is, truly, in 20 years, I've only seen about 4 real cases of ADD. Well,
that's the thing. It's so overdiagnosed nowadays.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
And as it turns out, this is like the number 4th one I've seen in years. And this little girl cannot sit and listen to the directions. So the minute that finished...
Well, and also, by the way, it's like if the mother is emailing you like crazy, she probably has ADD or so.
Well, and I think she does because her emails are like all over the place. She can't focus on one thing in the emails.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so she's absolutely driving me crazy. Exactly. But so basically, I wrote her an email back this afternoon and pretty much said, you know, we need to either have a conference or...
oh, God, no. Don't say that because she'll take you up.
Well, I would rather have a conference and say, look, lady, you need to lighten up. Your kid is fine. You need to just sit back and relax and let her experience school.
Yeah. This is what, the 3rd grade or the 4th grade?
1st grade.
This is the 1st grade? Oh, my God, this poor child.
Yes.
I hope they have a fund for the analyst because this poor child is going to need it.
There's
with
more,
that kind of over-mothering.
I know, and that's just that. She's one of those hovering mothers you hear about. There's other circumstances in the family, too. This she's got one older sister who's like a year older than she is, and the girl has all kinds of disabilities. She's almost like, I think she is retarded or she has some kind of... brain abnormality that keeps her from, you know, learning anything. I mean, she's just pretty much a vegetable, I guess. So, and the mother explained this to me in like this 3-page email about their family dynamics and stuff. And I'm, you know, generating in my brain, okay, well, she's putting all of her eggs in this little girl. You know, this is her little basket, and this one's going to be good, and this one's going to be right, and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of
any
issues.
Parents any parents who ever have any kind of sense of trying to make their kids fit in a certain way, it's bad news. It is
absolutely
bad news from the get-go. It's like all you can do is give them the right tools, support them, feed them, clothe them, you know, make sure they don't burn their hands and cut their legs. And then everything else is up to the universe. You know, it's like you can't control it. And the ones who try end up being miserable and driving their children insane.
And that's what I think is going to happen with this one. And the other thing that really drives me crazy is this student is pupil placed, which means that she's out of our school district. But because she has daycare, she can go to our school. And traditionally, any child who is pupil placed in our school are usually the worst kids. They either have parenting issues or they have, you know, learning disabilities or some kind of
learning
issues.
So they've used the pupil placement as a way of shuttling kids around into different schools?
Exactly.
But that sounds like that's not the original intent of it.
Of course
or
not.
Was it?
No, no, it
yeah.
wasn't. No,
so
not
it's,
at
it's
all.
Like people taking advantage of district issues, like, you know, this the old story where, like, you know, some kid will be in a completely different district, but he's his home address is like his aunt's address or something. So
absolutely, she's totally out of our area, but because she has daycare and the daycare is in our school district, she can go to our school.
Oh, okay.
Which, and that just drives me crazy because it's the worst kids always. Our neighborhood kids are the best, but these out of district kids are terrible.
See, I would have said, like, immediately, rather than the conferencing, I would have said, look, please, I understand your concern. I've noted every concern that you've given. I need some time in class with your daughter to sort of see what's up, and then we'll have an assessment. So give me a month, and, you know, I'll let you know.
So yeah, well,
that would have at least bought you some time.
That's
you know?
Pretty much what I want to say to her at the conference is that, you know, this is too early in the school year to be passing judgments or, you know, talking about this. We really need to give it some time. And I think in time that will happen, but I need to see her face to face. So,
you know, it's an interesting, it brings up interesting topic just in terms of our education system in general, because I'm an example of someone who did very well in a structured educational environment. I was the straight A student, the whole typical. I loved school. I couldn't wait. I was overstimulated to the point where I would go through the entire semester's worth of work in like 2 weeks, and then the poor teachers didn't know what to do with me, kind of thing. But I thrived in that environment, and I think, you know, there's a lot of people who did. But the thing is, the system itself, the way that we educate kids, it's not the most efficient system, and it certainly doesn't address a lot of these things. And it what it tries to do is it tries to sort of fit the maximum number of people through this one hole, and it may not, I don't know, it just might not be the best way of educating people. And and I've been through the whole school system. I went to college, I got an Ivy League degree, but I actually now on the other side of it, I think, well, I'm blessed to have now learned how to educate myself, and I'm a real thought of, like, you know, there isn't a one size fits all way to educate kids, you know,
and exactly.
And obviously it does take a certain degree of economic independence, but I kind of think that, you know, homeschooling is a great idea. I love the idea of homeschooling. I love the idea of self-education in a certain sense, you know, like I'm not a proponent that, oh, you have to go to an Ivy League school to get a good education. I definitely don't believe that, and that's coming from that, you know.
Right. Well, I guess for me, I don't think that all schools do it that way, that the way you're describing, because we definitely grew up that way. But I think
I guess that's what I meant. Yeah, it's sort of the way that we all grew up.
Right. But I the thing is, though, there are still many, many schools that are still teaching that way. But luckily, in my county, the philosophy is that you do your best to individualize the program for the kids. For example, not for just one area.
But you've got 24 kids, you're saying.
25, yeah.
25, which is a pretty small class, considering.
No, it's not. It's huge.
No, but I mean, in some districts, in some urban areas,
they
have 37, 40 kids in one class.
That's very true.
Yeah, 24 is too much for one teacher to be able to individually spend time with every single student, but it's even, like, she needs to realize she's better off than in some places.
Absolutely. I don't think she'll realize that, though. But I guess what I'm saying is that there are certain areas of the curriculum that can definitely be focused just for your child's level. For example, in reading, we totally group children by ability, which is the best way, because then those who need more time at a slower pace will get that. Those who are reading, you know, well above grade level will get that as well. So
you can just give them more stuff to read, right?
Absolutely, and direct their instruction based on their level, not just because they're in first grade. So area, and the same thing holds true for math. We certainly customize the program for where the kids are. It's all based on, you know, a little bit of testing here and there.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because so many policies in so many school districts, it seems as though what they'll do is they sort of go to the lowest common denominator, and the smart kids get held back not literally held back, like, you know, meaning demoted, but they're not able to go full speed because of that, and then they end up being bored, and then they have behavioral issues and all that junk, you know.
That's interesting that you use that word bored, because that's one of the words I'm hearing from this parent. And she says that the girl says that she's bored. Well, in 20 years of teaching, I know that a first grader does not understand the definition of bored, what bored truly means. That's a word that an adult has put in her head.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And
Well, and also there's a difference between boredom and distraction.
I was just going to say that. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Oh,
I see her. I see her in the classroom. It is not boredom. It's distraction. She is so ADD that she cannot focus on one thing for any length of time. Therefore, it looks as though she might be bored. She's not bored. She just can't focus.
Yeah.
And the thing is, none of the work that I've given her is too easy. It's definitely challenging to her level. She's not rising to it to do it, you know?
Right. So the mother would rather believe that this stuff is just below her and my child is so smart that she needs more challenging or individualized something or other.
Exactly. Exactly. She doesn't see what's actually going, what the reality of the classroom is.
Now, this is total, of course, you know, like here, I'm so willing to just quickly diagnose people that I don't even know, and I'm not even a doctor, but I wonder if there's an equivalent here going on, and, you know, maybe there are parents who do this in an academic setting, which is sort of the equivalent of Munchausen by proxy.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because like Munchausen by proxy is actually a disease that adults get where they make their children sick and then they get attention from it. So it somehow, I don't know, it's a sickness. I mean, it's a real sickness.
But it somehow psychologically satisfies the parent when they're doing this for the child.
Because it makes them feel whatever. Yeah, and I mean, it's hard to pinpoint it because it really is a disorder.
But the thing is, the problem is they can't see that there's nothing wrong with the kid. That the kid doesn't need this kind of attention, and they need to back off.
And it ends up being a form of child abuse, literally, because what happens is they'll suffocate the child, and then when this child stops breathing, it's, oh my God, my child can't breathe, and they run into the hospital, and it's true, the child can't breathe, so they give him medical attention for the real problem, which is that the child can't breathe, but they don't realize unless they're able to figure out what's going on, that the reason the child can't breathe is because the mother's suffocating it, you know,
exactly.
And doesn't even know that she's doing it in some instances. They literally, the mind masks itself, its actions, to convince you that it's really a problem, but not a problem you're creating. And I wonder if, obviously, there's not physical manifestation of that going on, but there's some degree to which this woman is either transferring the stuff from her other child, or she's in denial, or she's afraid that this one will have anything like the other child, and her answer is just no. She's bored. She's not being stimulated enough.
That's what I think it is. I think she's so afraid that this child is going to have problems that she's denying that there could be anything even minorly wrong with her. You know, like her attention. You know, she just thinks she's so smart.
And well, it might not even be ADD, you know? It might just be that, you know, the girl needs to learn how to focus. And that, you know, we all need to learn that, right? I mean, kids have a short attention span.
That's
true. And if they're indulged in that lack of focus, then it gets worse.
Very true. But I was just going to say that she probably, the little girl probably could be very smart compared to her sister, who basically doesn't have a brain. You know, so the mother might see this and say, oh my God, she's so smart compared to my daughter who has no brain.
You know, that's an interesting, and probably this is a totally different topic, but, and I've never spoken about this before, but we've had some mental retardation in my family. My uncle was born mentally retarded, and I have an aunt who is also mildly mentally retarded. And it's interesting because my dad is right in between them. My aunt is my youngest aunt, and that particular uncle is the next one up from my dad. And my dad is very intelligent. I mean, he's like genius level IQ. And it's just really strange. I mean, this is a total non sequitur, but it's like he ended up basically taking care of both his brother and his sister most of his life. I mean, obviously, to this day, he's their ward.
Wow.
You know, or their, you know, their legal guardian or whatever, you know. But there's a dynamic that happens in families where there is mental retardation. I don't mean mental illness, because that's, you know,
that's,
I think,
different
of that as more like psychological and psychiatric illness. But I mean where someone is definitely retarded, like they're slow, or there's brain damage that prevents them from learning. Yet you seem to, I don't know if that's just anecdotal or if it really is the case. In some cases, the other children are brighter. I don't know.
Well, I don't know if they actually are brighter, or do the parents see them as brighter.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. That's,
well,
that's
that definitely wasn't the case with my dad, because
he truly is bright.
Well, he is, and also he didn't get that. Like, that wasn't the culture of his family growing up. I mean, they were a very poor family. They didn't speak English. My grandparents anyway, and they didn't believe in education really. They didn't know about education. You know, it was like you grow up, you work on the farm, you know, that's it. You know, my father was the first of his whole family to even go to college. Anyway, total non sequitur on that.
That's all right. But you know, keeping with the whole educational theme of this, basically, I saw in the Washington Post. I know you probably don't read the Washington Post,
no.
But there was a whole article about how the honors classes in high school aren't honors anymore. Like the standards that they have set for honors classes and AP classes and so forth have been dumbed down because all these school systems, like they mentioned one in Connecticut that wants to have every child in some kind of AP class or honors class, but yet they have to lower the standards of the class for the students to be able to be in there.
Yeah, and then it's a big problem for colleges. They're getting these kids who have tested a 4 on the AP exam, but it's like they don't know the stuff.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say, that now the colleges are complaining, saying, hello, you say this is your AP classes, but you're sending us kids who truly shouldn't be in those AP classes.
Well, AP means that you're doing advanced placement. College work. You're doing college level work. Therefore, they should be able to waltz straight into college and not have any problem with the classes. And if that's not the case, then there's something wrong with those AP classes.
Absolutely. And the interesting part of this...
It's just a prestige.
Oh, absolutely. The interesting... Well, at least that I found interesting was because that the boyfriend and I had a huge discussion about this just over the weekend, because he is feeling a little bit of that himself, because they in his county, they want to put some kids, or they have put kids in the AP program or the honors classes that shouldn't be there, that truly cannot, they can't even read the textbooks, for example.
Oh, God. Yeah, and there's a lot of parental pressure
absolutely.
Coming from, because they want their kids to get into the right college, and it's being in those honors classes that looks good on their applications to get into college.
Yeah, but he's feeling like he's in between, because it's like he has to say something, but the county mandate is that every high schooler will be in at least one AP class, whether they can do it or not.
Because, but that's illogical.
I know, but here's the thing. They're not, because he explained this to me too, they're not looking at pass rates. They're only looking at how many students total are taking advanced placement classes. Which is the stupidest
way. Right, and I'm sure it's tied to money. It's tied to how much
money. Absolutely, because they can say, we have, 98% of our high schoolers taking an AP class. Well, hello.
Right.
35%
of them failing.
Right, shouldn't even be there and can't pass the exam.
That disgusts me. There. Do you know there's a comedian named Carlos Mencia? Have you ever heard of him?
I have not.
He had a show on Comedy Central called The Mind of Mencia, and he has this whole thing, he calls it dee-dee-dee, which is like, he calls people a dee-dee-dee, meaning like, you're kind of like a retard, but he doesn't mean it, he doesn't refer to it for actual retarded people, he refers to it as people who are just like, they don't get it,
right.
And he did this whole song about you're the dee-dee-dee, and the refrain towards the end of the song, like the little echoey part that the chorus sings is, so they lowered the standards. So all of these examples where they lowered the standards, and it's like, no wonder we're a nation of dee-dee-dees, led by a dee-dee-dee.
Exactly. And people who are in charge don't get it, I don't think. They just don't get it.
We just keep learning, and it's like, it's the same kind of culture that's created this whole false sense of self-esteem with kids, that it's
absolutely.
Oh no, that would be damaging, we can't fail them, that would be damaging to their self-esteem. It's the same culture that creates sporting events where there's no losers.
Exactly.
Every kid's a winner, every kid is in honors. I mean, how can every kid be above average? It's illogical.
Exactly. What
you
is
cannot
wrong
have
with our
all
society?
The kids being above average. There's the vast majority that are average. There's a few that are below average and a few that are below above average. That's the way a bell curve works.
Exactly. Well, they don't believe in the bell curve anymore, even though it's reality.
Yeah. I mean, if you literally just measure people, I mean, if you just in just about every aspect, you're going to have a bell curve. Even in sexuality, you're going to have a bell curve. You're going to have the majority of people are straight. And then a minority on one side, a minority on the other side. I mean, it's just
reality. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, well, thank you for letting me vent there for a while.
Yeah,
because now I'm just waiting to get this email back from this parent, like screaming at me or something. So we'll see.
See, that's one of the issues at play here. Of course, is the whole public school system and the way that our government is involved with it. In a private school.
Well, thanks to George W. Bush and No Child Left Behind.
Well, yeah, no, yeah, right. That's such a mess. That's such a mess. But I mean, in a private school, you would at least be have the freedom. The school would have the freedom to be able to say, no, these are our standards. You know, where these are the standards by
Right.
which we measure. We're not going to put kids into AP just because. You know, they have to earn it. They at least have the freedom to do that. They're not bound by whatever laws get passed every year by the legislature that says that this is what we're going to do in the schools. And then you, the real people on the front lines who are dealing with the education, are like, that's not going to work, but it doesn't matter because you don't have the say. You're not the one passing the law.
Very true.
You know, so but as long as we have public schooling tied to that, then that's an issue that's going to happen.
And it's going to stay that way. And because the boyfriend and I realized that all of our complaining and stuff is not going to change the system right now. You know,
Right.
it's
And how
going
do you
to.
not burn out? That's the big question,
And
you know.
that's what he's starting to feel like, that maybe he, you know, if he's feeling this way, is he starting to get burned out? Luckily, I'm not feeling that way. I just get frustrated with a parent here and there every other year or so, but.
See, if you have creative people who are dedicated and they love what they do and you tie their hands, they will burn out. It's just
Yeah.
a rule. It will happen.
Very
You know,
true.
and you've got creative, smart people who care about what they do. They love their job. I mean, there's no, you know, the proof that teachers love what they do is that they're doing it because they're not getting paid a ton to do it. It's not like, you know, it's not like you're being a lawyer just, you know, and you hate it, but you make tons of money. I mean,
Right.
it's, you
Well,
know.
and actually, I was telling the boyfriend that the biggest reason I enjoy teaching is, for example, this little kid who basically 3 weeks ago couldn't read a word, and now he's starting to read, very small words, but his confidence has changed. He came into school today saying, "You know, I'm a really good reader." And
Oh,
I'm just like,
great.
"That is so cool. Good for
That's
you,
really
you
good,
know."
yeah. Because that's the thing. It's the power of declaration. You know, if you say you're going to do something, then you'll do it. And it really, you know, like we label them as, oh, well, they're slow or they're fast or they're smart or this or that. But it's like if you can inspire any kid to feel good about how they're doing, they will improve. So
Absolutely.
even if he's a slower kid, then you've accomplished something, you know.
He is, but I can just see he's going to take off. He's going to be just fine in the long run.
Right,
So.
and hopefully he won't let those labels hold him back. Too many people have done that. I mean, even I did that. I decided that I wasn't good in math. I don't know why, but through high school, I just was like, oh, I'm not good in math, and that's ridiculous. Now that I'm older, I'm like, that's just stupid. Why did I decide
Yeah.
I'm not good in math?
Well,
You
we're
know.
much older and we realize things later in life too.
Yeah,
So.
unfortunately, the damage is done so early,
No.
and then we buy into it. You know, we believe the story that we're told. And we don't necessarily shirk it off. So it sounds like if that kid is saying that's good news. That's
Oh,
really
absolutely.
wonderful
And
news
the.
that he's not going to buy that story that, oh, I'm a dummy, you know, kind of
Right.
thing.
And the 3rd week of school. So, I mean, I'm really pleased. So.
That's great.
Well, listen, we're running a little bit long,
We
but
will. Okay, so we'll catch up on the Amazing Race later.
that was going to be my next. You're like reading my mind tonight. I was going to say we're going to have a show just for the Amazing Race. You know, we're going
Yes.
to
Oh, I
get.
love it already. I
I
love it. I
know,
love it.
I know. All right, we have to
Yeah.
stop this, but
Okay.
maybe we should record a little bit for your show for the Amazing Race. When are you doing your
Okay.
next Remarkably Mark?
Whenever.
Okay.
We can do it in a few minutes.
All right. Okay, well, let me end this show and take a break
All
because I gotta
right.
pee.
Okay.
All right, well, thanks for being on the show, and I'll talk
Bye.
to you a little later. Bye-bye. So that was our conversation with Remarkably Mark, and listen to his show later this week because I'll be on his show talking about the reality TV. Thank you all for listening. Until next time, bye.
Usher Ray.